This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, it's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
I have a new amazing theory, which we all know is probably going to be correct. Pandering Democrats, Governor Whitmer of Michigan in a little bit of trouble, and finally, Jenga. We have the Jenga champion. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. I know why you watch the show. You watch, obviously, you want to see me. You want my wisdom, and you want these incredible theories and predictions of mine. Look, that's why so many people have started calling me Jesse the Oracle Kelly, because I'm right all the time. Now, granted, nobody's actually ever called me that, but I want them to start, and I've always assumed you could give yourself a nickname and eventually it'll catch on. So allow Jesse the Oracle Kelly to give you my next prediction, and I'm telling you it's going to be right. I have had so many people ask me recently about what is going on in Michigan with Gretchen Whitmer. Why is she shutting down her state? She keeps extending the shutdowns, bragging about extending the shutdowns. I mean, people can, especially if you think most of these are political, and they are, people can excuse New York. I mean, why is Cuomo keeping his state shut down? Cuomo, the Cuomo family's not in danger of losing power in New York. They've been in power since George Washington was there. Newsom in California. Why is he being such an idiot? He can be. It's not like they're going to turn around and elect a Republican as governor. Newsom's fine. Newsom and his people are all going to be fine. They're not going to pay a political price. But Whitmer in Michigan, that's the one that has people confused. My emails are full of, what's she doing? What's she thinking? I hate her. She has to know everyone hates her. Yes, everybody hates her. Everyone hates her in a purple state. So why would you do it? Why would you intentionally screw your own economy in a state that can go either way? I mean, remember, Trump won Michigan. You want to know why Gretchen Whitmer is tanking her own economy? Here's why.
Seven women accuse you of touching them without their permission. Are you sorry for what you did? Are you prepared to apologize to those women?
Look, here's the deal.
I am so, like, for example, I actually thought in my head when I walked out here. I mean, do I?
I know. It's,
we're friends.
It's tricky.
No, but I should be able to read better. But I have never in my life done anything in approaching a woman that has been other than trying to bring solace. I'm used to, like, one of your staff was. I'm used to. I think it's really important we listen. Whether I sit down next to somebody and it's not invited to be to sit down. So that's my responsibility. I have to be more aware, and it's totally legitimate. But I, okay. But anyway, I think it's legitimate, and I think it is. But I don't think anyone's ever said.
Yeah, that's why Gretchen Whitmer is tanking her own economy. And I know what you're saying right now. Jesse, what does that Joe Biden clip have to do with it? Well, here's what. Remember, November is going to be about Donald Trump. November is always about the president who's trying to get reelected. Always. Always. And what's it going to be about? It's going to be about the Trump economy. Are people better off now than they were 4 years ago? I know what you're thinking right now. No, Jesse, it's going to, these governors are screwing the economy. People, I was having dinner with a friend last night in a restaurant. Yes, we can actually dine in restaurants here in Texas. Sorry to rub that in. And we were having this discussion about my new theory. And this is what I told him, because he told me the same thing you're yelling. Oh, they're going to blame the governors and not Trump. I said, okay. And so I went around being respectful of people's distance, asked them if I could ask them two questions. I asked them a few questions. Bartender, waitress, couple people eating. Are you voting in November? Everybody who said yes. I didn't ask them who they were voting for. Everybody who said yes, I asked them to name me the governor of Michigan. Do you know how many could do it? One. One person could do it. You know who the governor of Michigan is. I know who the governor of Michigan is. We're political people. This is what we do. You know what the newest controversy is with Newsom or with this congressman or this senator. You know, and I know. But remember, you and I do not decide elections. Those people are all voting in November. This woman, Whitmer, in your mind, has been in every headline. She's the wicked witch of the Midwest. Ah! These people do not know who this person is. They don't follow politics like you do. November will be about Donald Trump, which brings me to the Biden-Whitmer thing. Why would Whitmer tank her own state, ruin her popularity in her own state? Because Joe Biden needs this economy to suck in order to have any chance of being president. Whitmer shrewdly sees the situation and thinks, well, one, I can destroy a big part of the American economy. Michigan is an extremely important state. I can destroy the economy. When I destroy my own economy, I'm showing Joe Biden I'm a team player trying to screw over America in order to get him elected. And then I walk into the White House for an old man as VP to an old man who is declining right in front of everybody's eyes. Everybody in the world can see it. Gretchen Whitmer wants to be president of the United States of America. And that's not a bad gamble, right? It's risky. Don't get me wrong, it's risky. But what great thing or high-level thing do you achieve without taking some chances? Yes, she's a complete sociopath for screwing over that many people, but she's a politician. Most of them are sociopaths. That's just how they're built. So, you're Gretchen Whitmer. You want to be the first female president of the United States of America. Forget about female. You want to be president of the United States. What better way to audition to be Joe Biden's VP than screwing your own economy on his behalf? Gretchen Whitmer wants to be VP, thinks she has a chance to be president of the United States of America. And you know what I just said? Record it. Write it down, because it's not that far-fetched. People walk into those polls in November, and they're worse off than they were 4 years ago. There's a good chance they're going to blame the man at the top. Don't yell at me. I'm not blaming the man at the top. There's a good chance people are going to blame the man at the top. If they do, they're going to elect Joe Biden. If they do elect Joe Biden, that man is clearly not physically and mentally up to the job. That man already should be in a care facility, and everybody knows it. He should be in a relaxing,
comfortable environment. Instead, they're going to throw him, carry him, and chuck him into the Oval Office, into the most stressful job of the United States of America, and it's going to kill him. It quite literally might kill him. If not, he's just going to break down and not be able to even pretend like he can do the work. He resigns. Gretchen Whitmer is going to be president of the United States of America. Call it a theory. I hope I'm wrong. I'm not rooting for this. But ask yourself this. How often have I been wrong? It's a heavy burden being Jesse the Oracle Kelly. Now, Joe Biden the other day, we didn't really cover this because I don't get involved in that's racist, he's a racist thing. But he got on TV. He was being interviewed by Charlemagne the God. I don't think that's his given name from his parents. But he was being interviewed by Charlemagne the God, and Joe Biden had this to say.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
Okay, not ideal. That's a really bad thing to say. It's an uncomfortable thing to say. Charlemagne the God clearly had he wanted no part of Joe Biden's apology when Biden inevitably apologized for saying that.
Not just Joe Biden, but the Democratic Party in general just takes for granted that, well, the black people are with us, so we don't really have to give them anything else. They're going to vote for us regardless. Look, they voted for Joe Biden in overwhelming numbers. 6 in 10 black voters, particularly in southern states, they all voted for Joe Biden. We don't need to offer anything more. Do you worry that that is the attitude that Democrats are taking toward the black community?
I mean, I know that's the attitude, you know? I mean, that's why I don't even care about the words and the lip service, and the apology is cool, but the best apology is actually a black agenda. You know, they got to make some real policy commitments to black people.
Okay, well, Charlemagne the God, not that impressed with Joe Biden, but here's what I want to bring up. Democrats get away with this pandering thing in the most uncomfortable ways possible. They do them. It's not just that Joe Biden, if you don't vote for me, or if you're black and you don't vote for me, you ain't black. That's obviously a really horrific, dumb thing to say. But they do this kind of thing all the time when they talk to black people, when they talk to gay people. Have you seen how they conduct themselves at these pride parades through the street? There's Chuck Schumer video out there that would make you laugh until you cried. I know, because I do. Speaking of the black pandering, do you remember Joe Biden when he said this in 2012?
Look at what they value and look at their budget and what they're proposing. Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put y'all back in chains.
What? How do they get away with that? How do they get away with it? One, two, even if you get away with that and you're Joe Biden, aren't you uncomfortable? I mean, aren't you uncomfortable? Hillary Clinton, I mean, this Hillary Clinton video is famous, but look at this. Just breathe it in again.
What's something that you always carry with you?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you getting information right now?
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce in my bag, Swag?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yes.
Now, listen,
yes.
I just want you to know, people are going to see this and say, okay, she's pandering to black people.
Okay. Is it working?
Yeah. What? She does not carry hot sauce around in her... It's just... This pandering thing drives me crazy. I guess it's because I can't do it. I can't do it. It feels dishonest. And don't get me wrong, I'm dishonest, but it feels gross dishonest. It feels like it's not an okay level of dishonesty, but here's what drives me nuts. And it does. It drives me nuts. It works. They do these things because it works. It's tried and true. It works. And it doesn't. It's not just black people or gay people or this group or that group. Pick your group. People want to be pandered to. They don't want brutal honesty. They don't want you to sit down when you're trying to get more of the black vote in the South, as Clinton and Biden do. They don't want people to sit down and say, hey, I'm an old, awkward, rich white guy, so we don't really have much in common. I'm on your side on some things. They don't want to hear that. They do want to hear idiotic things like hot sauce in my purse. And you're probably guilty of it too. I probably unconsciously am guilty of it too. We want to be pandered to. And when we're being pandered to, here's what we do. We tell ourselves we're not being pandered to. No, he gets me. He's not pandering. He understands me. No, they don't understand you. They don't understand me. These people live in a world outside of our world, and perhaps all of us should do just a little bit better. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, what makes me comfortable is sleeping at night. And yes, I spent the money, as you should do, and I bought a good mattress. I have a good pillow. I have good sheets. You spend one third of your life in bed. But if you can't stop the thoughts racing through your mind, what good is that going to do? You can have the most comfortable setup in the world. You're going to lay there tossing and turning, thinking about the day you had, the day you're going to have. Go get an Ebb sleep. Stop taking pills. It's a wearable device that targets those racing thoughts going through your forehead. It puts you asleep faster, and it will keep you asleep. Go to tryebb.com/Jesse. That's tryebb.com/Jesse. Use the promo code Jesse. Don't forget about that. Get yourself $25 off. Ebb sleep. Joining me now is Dr. Mark McDonald. He's a child and adolescent psychiatrist in LA. He signed a letter to Donald Trump, and I want him to describe to you exactly what that letter was about. Doctor, why sign a letter to the president? What's your axe to grind?
Well, I'm a child and adolescent psychiatrist. Work primarily with families and children, have been for about 10 years. And I've noticed in the last couple of months, since these massive shutdowns, lockdowns have swept the country, that my patients have, by and large, become afraid to see me. They won't leave their house, they won't come to the office, even with masks, even with all of the hygiene procedures that are in place in the building and in my office. I don't see multiple people at a time. My office is very clean. I sit 10 or 15 feet away from my patients as it is. I don't touch them. I'm a psychiatrist. So I became concerned when patients were refusing to come in, but at the same time, they were calling me in distress. I can't sleep. My anxiety is going up. My OCD is worsening. I haven't been able to see my therapist now, except on Zoom, for 7 weeks. My AA meetings have been canceled, and I want to use again, whatever drug that might be. And I felt really powerless to do anything about it. I can prescribe medications, I can offer therapy, but I can't change society. So I wrote an op-ed to the LA Daily News with a colleague who's an ophthalmologist named Dr. Brian Walkler, urging an end to the shutdown. That was after 3 or 4 weeks into all of this mess. And it garnered quite a bit of attention, including the attention of Dr. Simone Gold, who's an ER physician here in Los Angeles, who began to organize physicians to write a letter to President Trump and ask as many physicians who agree with what's in the letter to sign it, urging an end to the shutdowns in this country, specifically because of the catastrophic medical damage and loss of life that has occurred not because of the virus, but because of the shutdowns themselves.
Explain that catastrophic damage, catastrophic loss of life. Where are you actually seeing a lot of that? Are you hearing that from other doctor friends of yours? This has been something I've been on the whole time, that this is, it's not just bad economic policy, it's not bad political policy, it's bad medicine.
It's horrible medicine. Jesse, what I have seen in my practice in the last 10 years, I've never come across before in terms of the loss of stability, rapidity of the loss of general good health practices, the risk of suicide, the active abuse of children and domestic violence. I can tell you that just in terms of numbers, it's gotten far worse than even I had suspected. The director of the D.D. Hirsch suicide hotline here in Los Angeles was interviewed in the LA Times on April 4th. And she noted that just here in Los Angeles County, the number of calls to the suicide hotline increased from a total of 8 in the month of February to, 20 in the month of February to 1,800 in the month of March, 20 to 1,800 over 30 days, and that was right when the shutdowns went into place. I had a patient 3 weeks ago who died, not from coronavirus. I've been in practice for 10 years, and I have a 31-year-old patient, healthy young woman, history of depression and some remote opioid abuse, who had been stable under my care for multiple years, seeing an outside therapist twice a week, abstinent from all opiates. She was actually getting a master's degree at Antioch College in therapy. Her school was shut down in February. She was forced into involuntary house arrest. I don't use the word quarantine, by the way, because you don't quarantine healthy people. You quarantine the sick, and she was not sick. She was stuck at home, away from her family up north, had just broken up with her boyfriend. Her AA and other support meetings had all been canceled. Her therapist was only available on Zoom, and she relapsed into depression, began to use again. I didn't have any idea this was happening. She was supposed to see me this week, actually, for her follow-up visit. She used a couple of times, and then on the third time, apparently, she used fentanyl, which is a highly, highly concentrated opiate. She stopped breathing, and she was found dead by paramedics. 31 years old, healthy, dead, and not from coronavirus, but from the impact of the government shutdowns.
Doctor, you would obviously be the one to ask this. Why is a lockdown, a house arrest, why is it so hard on people? Why? What is it that it just does not work for people? Because I think there's a lot of misconception out there, especially from people who are doing very well, mentally doing really well, that this is just Netflix and takeout and life is good. Why is this so hard for other people?
You know, it's great for people with obsessive compulsive disorder and social phobia. These people up until February were considered mentally ill. And now the hand washers, the Zoomers, the ones who don't leave their house, who play video games and do all their work online, the coders, they're virtue gods. People look to them for support and encouragement, but they're still sick. The healthy people, when I say healthy, I mean emotionally well people, they don't thrive in isolation. Those who are not autistic, who don't have social phobias, who don't have contamination obsessions, they need to spend time with people, and not just over the phone, not just through Zoom. They need in-person, shared space, shared time. We have thousands of people in LA. LA is a big entertainment industry town. There's a lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol, a lot of coke, and there are a lot of addicts here. The only way that addicts stay abstinent, for the most part, is by going to 12-step programs. And those 12-step programs have to occur in person because people receive actual support by sitting in the same space, sharing time and words and feelings with others who are also suffering and holding each other accountable. That doesn't happen in a Zoom meeting. It doesn't happen on a phone call. This is just one example of so many different aspects of our lives that are necessary to function and require actual space shared with other people. And we don't have that now. And worse, we're stuck at home with people who are antsy, irritable, children are not able to go to school, parents are trying to work from home and manage their children all at the same time. Everybody's on edge. There's a lot of poor sleep habits, poor diet, lack of exercise, worsening anxiety, worsening depression. I mean, you're basically just creating a cauldron of potential emotional collapse and physical collapse. And all of this is happening in the context of no access to medical care because all the doctors have been ordered to basically stand down and not see their patients. It is just horrible.
Doctor, I agree with you 100%. My question to you is, and I mean, you don't have to name names, you're welcome to if you want. I don't understand why other doctors, experts, scientists, whatever you want to call them, who are pushing these and we're pushing these and pushing these, how can they not see that? How can they not see the actual human cost of it? Because it was amazing to me from the very beginning. I've been screaming this exact thing that you're treating America as if America's a virus instead of America having a virus. And it blows me away they can't see it. These are smart people. These are highly educated people like you. Why can't they see it?
I think the people on the ground do see it, but their voices are being silenced. the article I mentioned that I wrote for the LA Daily News, it was an op-ed directed specifically to Mayor Eric Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, who has been essentially brain dead for the last 3 months, probably longer, but certainly since the shutdown occurred, who has locked the city down against all data, all reason, all science. That article was titled Safer at Home? That's the name of his policy, Safer at Home. I always find it ironic when I drive down the freeway in LA and I see these electronic lighted signs up all over Los Angeles saying, be a hero, stay at home, save a life, stay at home. And I think of all of my colleagues and friends who were in the military or retired from the military who literally risked their lives to save other lives. And we're now telling people that to be a hero is to sit on your ass and watch Netflix and a binge on potato chips. And that is the official message of the city. So that op-ed that I published was turned into a YouTube video. 2 days after the video was published on YouTube, it was removed. Oh. It was called, the removal was titled, Violates Community Standards. 2 days after that, two physicians, ER physicians, who spoke on this using data, substantive data, to prove their point in contention that staying at home and shutting things down does not save lives, it actually increases the loss of life. Those two doctors published their video. It wasn't even a video of them talking in their basement. It was actually an ABC 21 major news organization interview. It was aired live, and then it was uploaded from the news agency, 50 minutes long. It garnered 5 million views in less than a week. The day after my video was removed by YouTube, their video was removed too. Same rationale, violates community guidelines. So what I'm saying is there are doctors who are speaking up. They're trying, but they're being silenced. They're being literally censored off of Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, whose official policies are to take down any statements or advocations of public policy decisions that go against what the governors and the mayors are advocating, which is lockdowns. So the only people you're hearing from up until recently, with our group, for example, are the national doctors like Dr. Fauci. And I think that these people, although I don't believe that they're evil or they have any malintent, I don't think that they have the capacity to speak objectively because they are so beholden to other interests, such as politics, such as reputation, such as not backing off and correcting themselves from earlier errors. And there's a lot of pride and a lot of ego involved. And with politicians, I think it's all about power. So it's really left up to the boots on the ground, the doctors like me and Dr. Gold and the others, Dr. Barkey, who's part of the group as well, a primary care doctor in Orange County, who was at the march and the rally on Sunday in downtown Los Angeles, to speak up and to give the facts and to give their opinions, not from a political point of view, but from the point of view of people really worried about their patients, worried about the health risks of society. I'm not even talking about economics right now. I'm just talking about physical health.
Dr. Mark McDonald, thank you so much for what you're doing. Thanks for giving us some time. Please don't stop. We need you out there.
Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate it.
We've got more. Hang on. Memorial Day. It was yesterday. I know you were out there remembering and honoring the fallen. Why are political people so awful sometimes, though? I understand that you and I are considered political people, but I have found this to be one of the main differences between people on the left and people on the right. If I go to a party in my neighborhood, which we have a real close-knit neighborhood, so it's all the time. You know, they get the kids together, they're going to swim, we'll go have a beer, throw some cornhole, sit around, talk, put on some music. It's just, you know, that white picket fence Americana stuff. I never talk about politics, ever. Why don't I talk about politics? Two reasons. One, I talk about politics 4 hours a day. When I get home, I'm done with that. I have other interests as well. Just because I'm so amazing at this doesn't mean I don't want to go home and think about Red Lobster. That's one. Two, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. It's a neighborhood party. It's not a political party. It's not a Republican Party meeting. It's not a Conservative Party meeting. It's not some tea party. It's a neighborhood party. So I'm not here to make anyone uncomfortable. And isn't that kind of normal? Isn't that how you are? I walk in, it's, yeah, man, I'll have a hot dog. Sure, grab me a Bud Heavy. Hey, kids are swimming in the pool. Looks like they're having fun. How's work? How are the kids? So on and so forth. Because I don't want to make it awkward for anybody. Maybe there's a Democrat there. But you know what's funny? That is not reciprocated for the one or two lefties in my neighborhood. They walk in, kick in the door. Can you believe how stupid Trump is? Ah, oh, he's such an idiot. You don't know how many Trump supporters there are there. There are several, too. Okay, now you just made it awkward. Now everyone's uncomfortable. Now it's not a laid-back neighborhood party. And you know why? Here's why. You must always understand this. And I didn't come up with this concept. Someone else said it first. But like most of my genius thoughts, I'm going to steal it and not give anyone else credit for it. Leftism is not a political ideology. It is a religion. Leftism is a religion. And in the same way, you cannot set aside your religion if you're a religious person. It's everything you are, isn't it? It's supposed to be, right? Leftists never, ever, ever take a minute off because it's their God. It would never occur to a leftist to walk into a house and just leave politics aside. Well, why would I leave politics aside? It's my everything. It's my who I am. That's why they do the things they do. That's why they walk into a neighborhood party and are awful. That's why you constantly see it all over social media of these people using their kids. And they'll do horrible things with their kids. Do this, kids. Do that, kids. Hey, go scream at that conservative, kids. And we're all looking at them totally creeped out, thinking, who in the world would do that to their kids? My daughter came up and she thinks Donald Trump's going to murder us. She's 5. I'm so proud of her. And everybody's looking at them in horror and they don't understand it. Why? Because it consumes them. It is their everything. They don't know how to compartmentalize. It would never even occur to them to compartmentalize. So Memorial Day rolls around. And what is Memorial Day about? It's not about veterans. It's not about police and fire or first responders or any of that other stuff. It is a sacred day where the greatest Americans who have ever lived, the ones who gave up their lives, it's a day we honor them. It's only about that, a day we honor them. Unless you're Hillary Clinton. Quote, I'm missing our Chappaqua Memorial Day parade while also feeling grateful to leaders like New York Governor Cuomo for making responsible decisions to keep people safe. Wishing everyone a safe and healthy holiday, Bill and I will be waving our flags at home. Wait, what? Memorial Day. The one day we set aside of the 365 where we have chosen, today's going to be a day just to honor the fallen. Hillary Clinton gets up and thinks, you know what? Probably a good chance to give the governor of New York a political boost. These people are bizarre. They're bizarre. And the New York Times, oh, they're not going to be outdone by Hillary Clinton. Headline, not making this up. Why does the U.S. military celebrate white supremacy? It is time to rename bases for American heroes, not racist traitors. And this is, of course, about the various military installations or locations named after Confederate generals. What's wrong with these people? Even if you feel that way, what is wrong with these people putting that message out there on Memorial Day? Again, doesn't that seem completely inappropriate? We can't take one day. This is Memorial Day. Maybe we'll publish this tomorrow. You know, one day. Let's take a minute off. But again, it is not a political ideology. It is a religion. So they never take a day off. Ever. They never have. They never will. Granted, it helps them politically because they're always on all the time. But man, what a miserable freaking existence. Part of me pities them. All right, we got more. Hang on. Joining me now is Ken LaCourte of LaCourte News. Ken, I have a new amazing theory. It's going to blow you away. And since you've been doing this forever, I know you're just going to shoot me down and tell me why it's stupid. So here it is, all right? You ready for this? Here it is. I say Whitmer because she's in the purple state screwing her own economy. She's not Newsom or Cuomo. She's in a purple state screwing her own economy. I say she's doing it on purpose. She's doing it because she wants to be Joe Biden's VP. He wants her to screw her economy, which screws Trump's economy, which increases Biden's chances. This is her play to be president of the United States, because Biden picks her for VP, walks into the Oval Office, his brain just melts into tapioca pudding, and about year one, she's president of the United States.
Well, you know, I buy about two-thirds of that. clearly Wait. She wants to be vice president. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't want to be Joe Biden's vice president? It's like, whoa, yes. Hey, I've read this in the history books before. I'm going to be president, kids. Keep an eye out here. Look, none of them think that they are intentionally ruining their own economies. I don't buy that aspect of it. I think that they are being safe. I think that they are being your mom, even though we didn't elect them to be that. And, you know, Gavin Newsom's doing the same thing here. They're now in a tricky position where their experts are saying, you know, the numbers in California aren't going down, but people are going to start burning you in effigy. And so they're in an interesting position for that.
You don't think they're intentionally screwing their economies?
No, I don't. I actually don't believe that. I you know, look, anytime somebody does something that's just weird, you always ask, are they evil or are they stupid? I'm somebody who usually leans to stupid instead of evil. No, I don't think that a governor is intentionally trying to do that. I think that in those meetings, they're very earnest. They watch CNN and believe all that crap they see. Oh, my God, they don't have masks on the beach in Omaha. How can that be? And I think that they really believe that they are saving us from us. And if that means some people can hold off working their jobs for a while, so be it. I don't believe that it's an intentional, but who knows?
Why do we go along with it, Ken? What is that in the human psyche that just really, at least initially, you're seeing some pushback now, but why do we just go along with this? People see someone on TV, president, doctors, governors, mayors, say something, and people just, oh, okay. I mean, they must know what they're doing. Where does that come from in the human mind?
You know, I think probably comes from a place of fear. I mean, look, certainly when this thing first started into the country, from the get-go, forget it, let us all die. I think that most people didn't know how bad or not bad it would be. I think that, you know, you can individually look. I mean, look, the fact that parents are worried about school shootings in America when their kids are at more risk per hour of being on the car on the drive to school than they are being shot at school, because your mind can focus on things, because you've got horrific pictures, as we do here. We have horrific stories. Look, I could tell you all day the awful story of this fairly young guy. He was a little fat, but wasn't that bad. Dead of coronavirus, and that's what's been going on. If you look, watch 2 hours of MSNBC, and if you don't kill yourself, you will be locking your door and putting tape around it and telling your wife to put on a mask.
Ken, Joe Biden, back to the race itself. I have had people continue to say, and I'll admit I flirted with this idea too, that they're going to switch him out at the convention. We had new video out today from The View where, it's so bad. I mean, it's so bad. I know you've seen the video. And I have come up with this. I don't think there's any way they can switch out Joe Biden, because people do not understand exactly all the infrastructure it takes to run a presidential campaign. I ran a congressional campaign in Tucson, Arizona once, and it took multiple offices. It took volunteers here and volunteers there. I say it's not possible at a convention to just snap your fingers and make somebody else run, because they don't have the infrastructure in place to run.
Does Joe Biden really have an infrastructure? Does he know how to win a national campaign? He's run for president a lot, but I'm not sure he has either of those check marks boxed off. Look, a little bit on that video. I watched the full video of him walking in and out. He looked like a doddering old man in a very small part of it that they clipped just right on it, and he looked relatively normal on the rest of the walk. But he walks like a guy who's slowing down in life. I have never seen as many stories out in the national press corps about, like, well, what would happen if our candidate died? I mean, they're very worried about this. I mean, have you ever seen this before? I mean, look, some of the Never Trumpers were freaking out about 4 years ago. But other than that, I've never seen so many mainstream outlets do the, well, we're just kind of spitballing here. But if Joe Biden dies before the convention or after the nominating convention, here's what would happen and here's how it would happen. I mean, look, infrastructure in place like that probably helps a presidential candidate a couple percentage, 2-3%. Having a candidate who goes onto a national stage and forgets what he's talking about in the middle of a debate probably hurts him more than that. If I'm a Democratic strategist and I had the ability of saying, okay, let's pick a Cuomo, whoever he didn't kill seems to like him left in New York, not quite sure why, but he seems to be popular. Look, it's a tricky thing, and you know, if they want to do it, they're going to blame COVID. But you're probably right that it's never been done before. You'd have to somehow convince him, if he's still alive, you'd have to convince him that he wasn't the guy for the job. And how do you tell somebody who's been running for president for 40 years and is now months away and is leading in the polls? You know, every poll, he's still up by 8 points, right? So how do you go up to a guy like that and say, yeah, Joe, I know you're winning in the polls. I know you've been a national politician since before I was born, but we'd like you to step aside. That's a pretty tough conversation to, you know, to not be thrown out of his basement after you have it.
I agree. I agree with everything you just said there. I think this has to be something where Joe Biden comes up with it on his own. And look, for all we know, he may not actually be able to. I'm not trying to be mean. He may not be able to come up with that decision on his own right now. But it's something he has to decide completely on his own. So let's say they're sticking with him. I say they're sticking with him. You sound like you think they're sticking with him. So really, this is just a game of chickens with the Democrats in the November date. That's all this is now, is let's just hope he can last until he gets there. And then once we get him in there, we'll figure it out from there.
I mean, look, this party nominated Hillary Clinton 3 years ago. So don't act like they're always using their smartest thinking caps when they go through this process. Look, the ball bounced weird, and the ball bounced where he beat a dozen or half a dozen other candidates. I mean, remember, there was a field, and there was women, and there was people of color, and there were women of color, and there was all sorts of stuff on that. And you know, when push came to shove, more people pulled the lever for Joe Biden than anybody else. It's the way the game's played.
All right, Ken, finally. People think, people like you and me, we tend to think that other people think like us, that they are knowledgeable about politics like us because we geek out on politics. I have tried to explain to people that nobody actually knows who the governor of Michigan is. The people who will win elections, outside of Michigan, obviously, don't know who this person is. That November, it will be a presidential election, and those are about big things. We think they're about little things. They're actually about big things for people who aren't informed. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're 100% right. I think, and you're right about the lack of knowledge on some of the people that we, you know, nobody knows who Stacey Abrams is in Nevada except political junkies and things like that. So, yes, no, I completely agree. I think that the vice presidential candidate nominee will say a lot about him. And that said, you know, even when you've got a 200-year-old candidate who looks like he's slipping a little bit, people still vote for the candidate much more so than they vote for the vice presidential candidate. That's only a minor factor.
Ken LaCourte, LaCourte News. Thank you, my friend.
Good being here. Thanks, Jesse.
Do not miss the Jenga master. Hang on. I saw this video. I had to watch it 5 times. I have a confession to make. I know you all think that I'm so great at everything and so talented, and Jesse, you're the best. I'm not a great Jenga player. I don't know what it is. It's like Wheel of Fortune. I watch, and other people will get the puzzle. There'll be like one square left, and I can't seem to put together the phrase. I don't know. My mind doesn't work that way. As brilliant and huge and awesome as my mind is, it doesn't function in that way. And the same way I look at Jenga, and I can't ever seem to push the right thing out. I screw it up every single time, and it drives me crazy. So when I saw this granny out there rocking it, I was impressed and ashamed.
No hesitation. I'll hold him.
Wait, hold on.
What a legend. I've never even seen someone attempt that before. Good for her. All right, y'all. We're going to do it again tomorrow. I'll see you then.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint and your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.